But he's about the last of the old school of great evangelists. And I thank God for letting him stay alive, just get come back and bless us. We always look forward to his coming because he always tells us something and blesses us. And thank God for the fact that he's here. For those of you that might not know who he is, this is Dr. B.R. Lakin. We thank God for him.
You go again. I'm happy to be here. In fact, a man as old as I am is happy to be anywhere. Dr. Falwell says I'm the oldest man he ever heard of. I was having my room made down in Atlanta one morning by a little black girl. She was lamenting the fact that she never went to school much. I said, well, neither did I. I said, Abraham Lincoln only went 2 years in his whole life. She said, did you all go to school with him? Not long ago, I was in Richmond, Virginia. Dr. Falwell called and said, I'm going to send a plane up to get you in the morning. Come down to speak to the college. So he chartered a plane and sent it to Richmond for me. And I was flying down 25,000 feet up in a $250,000 chartered plane, just me. I said, baby, you've come a long way. When I started 62 years ago, I started 62 years ago riding a mule with a pair of saddlebags under me over the mountains in West Virginia. Had a one-room country church, coal oil lights and pot-bellied stove. Paid me $7 a month. I was the most overpaid preacher in the state. But nobody called me a grafter then. If you want people to talk about you, just do three things. Just know more and have more and do more. And they'll get after you. And you preachers, if you want every preacher in town to think well of you, be as no count as they are. Don't you have more in Sunday school than they got? Don't you baptize more people than they baptize? Because they'll all get together against you. Amen. I saw a fellow the other day and he said, a fellow ran a church bus right up past my church. I said, why didn't you run one up past his? Picked up one of my Sunday school boys and baptized him. I said, why hadn't you baptized him before? He said, he's a sheep stealer. That's what he is. I said, you can't steal satisfied sheep. You put them on dog fennel and broom sage and sawbriars, and if they can find clover, they'll jump out. Amen. And I don't blame them. A fellow said to me not long ago, he said, you know, these cults have about destroyed my church. I said, that's your fault. If you'd have established them in the Word of God, they wouldn't have followed that crowd. I'll tell you what you do. Instead of beating your sheep, feed your sheep. And they'll stay with you, amen? I'll tell you why they leave. It's like a fellow was, the traveling man stopped in front of the farmer's door and he said, your hogs have gone crazy down yonder. He said, I stopped and watched them. They'll run the squealing across this field, clear to the other side, and then turn squealing back all the way. And the old farmer said, no, they're not crazy, but last winter I lost my voice. And I couldn't call my hogs except by beating on the fence with a stick. And this summer, these everlasting peckerwoods have run my hogs to death. You get a... I'm a mess, then. Let me tell you something. You found them in the Word of God, and they won't run after every religious peckerwood that comes through the country. I bought a new Cadillac once. I've had three. May get another one. Preacher down in North Carolina said, "That'll ruin you." I said, "Didn't ruin my family doctor." Said, "Jesus rode a donkey." I said, "I will too. Throw a saddle on your back." Jesus. Old lady said to me the other day, "Did you ever read that verse in the Bible about jesting?" I said, "Yeah, it's right after that one that said, 'Be not of a sad countenance as the hypocrites are.'" The joy of the Lord is your strength. Old lady said, "Always feel bad when I feel good, because no, I'm going to feel worse." Well, I'm glad to be here. I think this is the greatest spiritual powerhouse on earth. Amen. And I've been all over the United States and Arkansas. And I... Amen. I just assume you smile or cry when you come to my meeting. Smiles nor tears, neither one isn't religion. But you know something? I find that people I can get to laugh, I can get to cry. It's the people you can't get to do either that you're stuck with. You ever have them come to your church and come in and say, "I'm here now, let it go on. Move me if you can, I dare ye." Amen. I've just been over to the Holy Land. You don't want to hear about that. Dr. Falwell and I, we took 431 people. I had a conversation with Mr. Begin and talked to him in a press conference. I said to him, "I'll give you Isaiah's promise. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Keep your hand off of the Jew if you don't want to suffer." Amen. "He that blesses Israel, I'll bless, and they that curse, I'll curse. And if you don't believe that, so ask Hitler." Mr. Begin needs to be prayed for just now. It looks like that he may be defeated in this election. I went with Dr. Falwell along the West Bank and saw the little villages that they're trying, that Israel is trying to establish now, thinking if they could bring civilization back to the valley, it'll blossom as the rose. Mr. Carter wasn't in favor of that, but, well, he's not to figure in it anymore. But anyway, I didn't go. He asked me to go up in Lebanon where they're doing the fighting. Dr. Falwell went and he told me that they were fighting. And he said they would open the school for the children to come out, and at noon, then they started shooting when the children came out. And I said to him, I said to him, "You mean children?" They said, "Why not? Why not?" Dr. Falwell couldn't go to Egypt with me. The people of Israel didn't think it was safe. And they were accepting the authority, obligation of our security while we were there. So I took the people to Egypt. They thought if I got killed, it wouldn't mean much anyway. I looked like an Arab, so they couldn't bother me. Amen. I went 200 miles across the desert. 200 miles across the desert by automobile. And ferried all of our stuff across the Suez Canal. Mrs. Lakin got pneumonia and still has it at home. And I have a little throat trouble, but I'm thankful that I'm not a giraffe. Amen. Okay. Maybe I better get down to business now. Amen. Dr. Farwell said, don't leave off the monologue. That's the best thing you do. Bring you a word of greeting from the man that's being cursed more than anybody in the land. But the moral majority shot some out of the saddle that ought to have been shot out. Amen. And I got news for you. We're not finished yet. Our college, Lynchburg Baptist College, is now fully accredited.
Amen.
Fully accredited. Dr. Gray Allison said he was there in the committee when they accepted. We're as accredited now as Harvard or Yale.
Amen.
And I think that's good.
Amen.
We're expecting 5,000 to register this fall.
Amen.
It costs about $1 million a day now to operate all that we have to operate. When Dr. Farwell was on Donahue's show, he said, Mr. Farwell, it's reported that you took in $47 million last year. He said, well, that's wrong. It was $57 million. It's a funny thing. You can raise money for anything in the world but the school, the church, and the buildings. And when you do that, that's wrong. Amen. We hope someday to have 50,000 in college. And build a football stadium on the top of the Blue Ridge Mountain that'll seat 50,000.
Amen.
I said, where are you going to get your students? I said, Obama. Amen. We're going to beat Notre Dame one of these days. Amen. Okay. I speak every three months. I speak over the television. I want you to pray for us. Dr. Farwell is not perfect, and many things he do that perhaps I wouldn't do. He thinks he does that I couldn't do. Fact of the matter is, I don't think we're going to clean up the world. It's too big a job. It's the devil's world. Let him run it. I'm not going to try to clean up the world. I'm trying to go to one that's already cleaned up. I'm kind of like the old lady was down in the mountains of West Virginia where I was born, and they were building a road to pass their home. She had wall to wall children. And she said, now don't you get out in that tar. And a little old boy got out and got it all over him. She had him in there trying to scrape it off of him. And she said, Lord, it'd be easier to have another than it would be to clean this one up. So I believe it'd be better. I believe it'd be better just to have another world. Amen. Okay. Okay. I want to bring you a message now for a little while on the Lord's Prayer.
Yeah, bless you, Lord.
When we think of the Lord's Prayer, we think of our Father who art in heaven.
Yeah.
Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's not the Lord's Prayer. That is the model prayer, and that's to be prayed only by Christians. Because no man can call God Father except by the Spirit. God is not your father. Ye are of your father, the devil. And the lusts of your father ye will do. I've heard mothers say to little boys and girls, now you be good little boys and girls and you'll go to heaven. That's a lie.
Amen.
You don't go to heaven because you're a good little boy.
Amen.
And you don't go to hell because you're a bad little boy. You go to heaven or hell because of what you do with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Young preacher said to me the other day, what would you suggest I do as a young preacher? I said, first of all, learn to preach the gospel.
Amen.
And wallow in the word of God.
Amen.
Learn to preach the gospel. Don't chase rabbits. And the gospel is how Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Here's where I'm born. Here's where I'll die. God laid all of my sin on Jesus.
Yes.
Past, present, and future. You said, not my future sins. They were all future. When Jesus died, you hadn't committed any of them. He laid all of my sin on Jesus. What did it leave on me? Then our Savior Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us that he might redeem, purchase, pay for all of our sins. And so the moment I believe, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath, present tense, got it now, everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. Why? Because all of his sins paid for from the time he's born till the time he dies. And if God made two men pay the same debt twice, he'd be a thief and a scoundrel. And yet, my friend, some people think that after they have trusted Jesus Christ as their complete Redeemer, and they come to heaven and said, I want my home in heaven. And he said, here's the receipt I have for it. This Bible backed up the hundreds of fulfilled prophecy. Then you say, you can't have your home in heaven. I said, why? Because you didn't live good enough. And you weren't baptized the right way. Therefore, you didn't join the right church. Therefore, you can't have your home in heaven. I worship an honest God.
Amen.
And the moment I trust Jesus Christ as my complete Redeemer, right then and there, outside of all churches, outside of all baptisms, outside of all church membership, I'm going to heaven when I die. Amen. I'm going to heaven when I die because I've got a titled deed to it right here. Amen. So, preacher, let me tell you something, son. Quit chasing rabbits. Preach. Preach. Oh, you! I can hear a fellow, he'll get up and start preaching, and you take away from him long hair, short skirts, and cigarettes and Masons, and he couldn't preach a lick. Amen. That's not the gospel. That's not the gospel. Preach how Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. No, the real Lord's Prayer is found in the 17th chapter of the Gospel of John. We have glimpses of him going to and from his places of prayer. We have sketches of his prayers here and there. But this is the only complete pearl in all the great necklace of prayers that you find of Jesus on record. Begins like this. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. The hour has come. What hour? The hour for the bloody sweat. The hour for the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. The hour for the fulfillment of his mission. The hour has come. You know, God never gets ahead of time. Nor never gets behind time. He always stays exactly even. Never gets ahead of time or behind time. Before he ever made the birds, he made the air for them to fly. Before he ever made the grass, the cattle, he made the grass for which they're to graze. Before he made the fish, he made the water for them to swim in. Before he ever sent a flood, he built an ark. And before man ever sinned, he sent a son. I heard a quartet singing, don't base your religion on quartets. I heard a quartet singing, and they searched through heaven and found the Savior. They never searched anywhere. God knew that Jesus knew he had to die before God ever made a man. Before man ever sinned. Why? Because he stood as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And in the mind of God, Jesus was crucified before he ever made a man. And before a drop of water had ever fallen, Noah knew the plan of the ark. Before a drop of water had ever fallen. And before God ever made a man, there stood a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. They didn't have to search through heaven to find a Savior. God knew and had one. So when Jesus was born of a virgin, thank God he was born of a virgin. Of a human father, of a human mother without a human father. A niece came home from college one day and said, the professor said that Jesus couldn't have been born of a human mother without a human father. That was a biological impossibility. I said, well, ring-a-ding-ling. I said, you tell the little peanut brain, possum-headed, pin-whiskered, rabbit-faced monstrosity of a professor that prays our Father which art in a coconut tree, you tell him that I said the first man that ever got in this world got here without either father or mother. Quack that. He said the first man came by evolution, then the first germ got here without father and mother. Oh, she said, the first germ came from another planet on a meteor. I said, don't you know a meteor is a blazing ball of fire? I said, how would a germ live? I said, you better get in the house. Automobile run over you and kill you. Life has never been generated. Somebody said the Bible says, in the beginning God. The Bible didn't say that. The Bible says, in the beginning God created. I'm going to preach up at Dr. Howell's next Wednesday night. We're expecting 10,000 people in the auditorium, in the great arena there. And I'm going to preach on who made God, or did God make himself? Somebody said, the Bible's in the beginning God. The Bible didn't say that. The Bible says, in the beginning God created. God didn't have any beginning. There was a time when God was alone in the world. He was an orphan. By him all things were made, and without him there was nothing made. Well, she said that evolution is the scientific, it's the scientific definition as to how man. That's the most unscientific thing I've ever heard. That away back yonder, sometime, somewhere, somehow, nobody knows when, how, where, why. Nothing formed to something formed a germ. The germ got into water. The water developed into a tadpole. The tadpole swam to another bank one day and got stuck in the mud and dried there, wriggling around in the mud. He formed warts in his belly. Later they became legs. After developed legs, he became a land animal. And climbing through the trees, his foot slipped. As he fell, he broke off his tail. He stood up on the ground, bought him a suit of clothes, went across the college, went across the street, went to teaching in the college, and said, "Thank God, I'm a man at last." That isn't the one. They can cram that down the neck of some kids, but bring them around and let the old man tend to them once. I said, would you debate with an evolution? I'd stack my cards with any son of an ape I've ever met. Amen. So, when the fullness of time had come, he came forth born of a virgin, born under the law, to redeem. We straighten up another thing for you. We talk about God pardoning sinners. I got news for you. God doesn't pardon sinners. God doesn't pardon sinners. Why? That means to let off without recompense. A man can be convicted and sentenced, and a jury finds him guilty, sends him to the penitentiary. The governor pardons, he comes back a pardoned man. But he's still guilty. But when a man is tried before a jury of 12 and said none, not guilty, he comes back a justified man, as though he had never committed a single crime at all. You're not pardoned. You know what? You're paid for by the blood of Jesus. Now fasten your seatbelts. I'm going to shiver your timbers. God doesn't forgive sin either. God doesn't forgive sinners. Forgiveness means to let off without recompense. Therefore, my friend, if a sinner could come up and whine like a whooped puppy and ask God to forgive him, God could wipe it out and Jesus need never have died. You're not forgiven. You're paid for. Oh, but a fellow said to me, if we confess our sins, but who are we? Go back to the beginning of that chapter, and he said, little children, write I unto you. He does forgive his own children upon confession. But the sinner has to be redeemed. He has to be paid for. Let me tell you something. Listen. He said, when the fullness of time had come, he sent forth his son. Now, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy son. What does he mean? It means make thyself more real to thy son. Oh, you say that's selfish. No, not when you read the rest of it. Glorify thy son, that thy son may glorify thee. Yes. What he's saying is crucify thy son, that thy son may glorify thee. That's what I mean when we talk about... Listen, you say, I'd love to be glorified. Yeah, you would. You like Christmas Day too, but you don't like Good Friday. You like Easter morning, but you don't like Good Friday. Someone see you never said you never see the rainbow except you see it through the raindrops. Neither do you see a glorified life unless you see it through the teardrops of Calvary. Oh, you like to be glorified, but you don't like to be crucified. And that's what the Apostle Paul meant when he said that I'd be crucified. What? Not I. Listen, crucified. Made real. That's what I'm talking about. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why you pull back from the cross? Paul said there's three crucifixions. Christ is crucified. I am crucified. And the world's crucified.
Yes.
I mean by that he said, Christ is crucified, I trust him. And he said, I am crucified as far as the world's concerned. I don't exist. As far as the world's concerned, I don't live anymore. The life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Listen. Paul said, I don't live anymore. I've been crucified. Are you willing to become a nothing? Are you willing to hang up on the cross and say, not I that lives, but Christ liveth in me? That's what it means. For me to live is for Christ to live again. For me to live is for my neighbor to have Christ for a neighbor. For me to live is for my wife to have Christ for a husband. For me to live is for my grandson to have Christ for a grandfather. For me to live. For me to live is for Christ to live. For Christ to live. He said the world is crucified as far as I'm concerned. It doesn't hold any attraction for me. It doesn't hold any attraction for me. I'm crucified. And the world's crucified. And I don't hold any attraction for the world. The world holds no attraction for me. Crucified. Crucified. Are you willing to go up on a cross and die and be crucified and become nothing? I don't live. As far as the world's concerned, I'm dead. They never invite me to any of their blowouts. I don't get to go to any of their parties. I'm as unpopular with that crowd as a ham sandwich at a Jew picnic. No. No. Somebody said to me, Dr. Lakin, you don't do the... No. I do all I want to. But I don't want to. Hey. And when you've been crucified with Christ, I want you to see, he said, I pray not for the world.
That's right.
I heard a man preaching, and he said, lost man, Jesus is at the right hand of God making intercession for you. That's a lie.
That's
the only thing about that is it's not so. I've had a lot of my good preaching spoiled by finding out it wasn't the truth. It made pretty preaching, it just wasn't so. Knowing your Bible will unfit you for hearing a lot of preaching, amen. If you know your Bible. I pray not for the world. He's making intercession for those thou hast given to me out of the world. First of all, taken out of the world. I don't mean raptured up and taken out of this sphere of things, but taken out of this world system. For those thou hast given to me out of this world system. Now, I don't know. There's in some peculiar way I can't never quite understand. We are the great love gift of God to Christ.
Yes.
God's greatest love gift to Christ was the people for whom he died.
Amen.
And therefore, he becomes the recipient of God's great love gift. Those that thou hast given me. I pray not for the world, but for those thou hast given to me out of the world. Some way he has taken us. Now you've got to be careful. I saw a fellow the other day who said he was so overbalanced, he was such a Baptist. I used to be up in Eastern Kentucky and there was a pastor there and they were so straight they leaned back some. Every fellow that got up at the association said, I want the world to know I'm a Baptist. I got up one day and said, I'm a Baptist. I don't care if anybody knows it or not. I'd like for you to know that I'm a Christian gentleman. No. No, I'm not going to. But this fellow said that only the Baptist constitutes the bride. I said, which branch of them? Convention Baptist? Somebody asked me, said, do you criticize the convention? No. Mama told me never speak evil of the dead, so I don't bother that. But anyway, I want you to show yourself. No, I don't. Let me tell you. I said, is it Free Will Baptist, Missionary Baptist, Convention Baptist, Independent Baptist, Buzzard Baptist? They are the ones that only go to a funeral. I said, if it's just your little goat pen, she'll be a slender maiden. Amen. I don't think there'll be any Baptists in heaven. Or Methodists either. And I have my doubts about the Presbyterians. You say, Dr. Lakin, who do you think will be in heaven? Some old-fashioned sinners saved by grace. They won't. You'll lose most of your brands after you get there. Okay. Let me tell you something, my friend. I love to preach. I get to heaven. I'm going to take a few of the angels over in the corner and preach to them a little while. I know something they don't know. And we sing Redemption Story. When they go to sing that, they'll have to fold their wings. For they do not know the joy that Christ's salvation brings. For those thou hast given to me out of the world, thine they were. And thou hast given them to me. You know what he said? What did he do? He says, taken out of the world. Second, sent back into the world out of which you've been taken. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so send I you. Yes. Taken out of the world, sent back into the same world, on the same mission that Jesus Christ came into the world on. Right. Did you know that you're in the world today for the same mission that Jesus came on? What's that? Seeking to save that which is lost. Yes. And that's the only mission of the church. Is to win souls and build souls till Jesus comes back again. That's the mission of the church. Now fasten your seatbelt. 75% of the work that's being done by the average church today could be done by an infidel just as easy. And the Holy Spirit could be withdrawn and they'd never miss it. Let me tell you, my friend. You didn't have to be a Christian to get up bundles for Britain. You wouldn't have to be a Christian to feed soup and sandwiches. I can get an infidel to do that. What, my friend? Social service. A lady said to me not long ago, I'm just so busy working for my church. I said, like what? I had a missionary society once. And I went in and they was having their luncheon. And their week of prayer. And they said, no doubt our beloved pastor is here with us, has something good to say. I said, just this crowd is adjourned, never to meet anymore. I said, why don't you get away from these little luncheonettes, and why don't you get away from these little programs, and why don't you go out here and start knocking on doors and leading people to Christ? You know what they were doing? Shedding tears and talking about China. Why, those sisters never been even downtown to see if the Chinese laundryman was a Christian. You know what? They were talking about Africa, and they didn't know whether the cook in the kitchen was a Christian or not. Let me tell you something, my friend. I said, if you get out of here and go to knocking on doors and winning souls, and one of them said, well, we are not cut out for that. I said, if you cut out some things you were doing, you'd be cut out for it. Amen. As thou hast sent me, even so send I you. On the same, listen, taken out of the world, sent back into the world, not of the world. And he said, these are not of the world. Back in the world, but not worldly. I don't know where the ship's in the sea or the sea's in the ship. Whether the church is in the world in the church. I don't know whether the church is a little worldly, the world's getting a little churchy. They are a mixture. They go to the same places. They do the same thing. The average Baptist today reminds me of a chameleon. We have them over in Florida. You put one on green, he turns green. Put one on red, he turns red. Put one on brown, he turns brown. Put one on blue, he turns blue. They put one on a piece of scotch plaid one day, and the little fella busted himself trying to make good. Whirling us, they do the same things, amen. I was holding a meeting once in a church, sitting in the lobby one evening. They were having a dance, and this old sister's had a shape on her like a concrete mixer. Looked like a bale of cotton with a unbuttoned, amen. And you know, that little fella was pushing that old wrinkle-backed woman around over the ball floor like he was shoving a mail truck. And she said to me, "Do you dance?" I said, "No, I don't dance." She said, "I'm one of the pillars of the church where you were having the meeting." I said, "You're a pillar sham. That's what you are." Well, she said, "Do you go to the theater?" I said, "No." Well, she said, "That's not natural." I said, "No, because I've been born of the supernatural." When you get a good case of old-fashioned sky blue, blood red, bedrock, river, Jordan, John the Baptist, regeneration, all wool a yard wide, stamped on the cork, blowed in the bottle, it'll ruin you for this world. Hey. Well, she said, "I never go where I can't take the Lord." I said, "I didn't know you were taking him. I thought he said you follow me." You know what she said then? "Well, maybe you haven't been around much." I'd been further up under the house hunting eggs than she'd ever been away from home on a vacation. He said, "Taken out of the world, not of the world. And because they're not of the world, they shall be hated by the world." Ladies and gentlemen, this whole world is no friend of grace to lead us on to God. And they that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Shall suffer persecution. The preacher said to me the other day, "Well, if I'd say that, I'd have to leave." I said, "Well, leave." The preacher told me here last night they were throwing him out. Well, deacon told me one day about his pastor. He said, "You know, I feel like we need a change in our church." I said, "I feel the same way. He needs some new deacons." Well, he said, "He's been here for 25 years, and I feel like a new broom would sweep clean." I said, "Yeah, but the old one knows where the dirt is." See, because they're not of the world, they shall be hated by the world. But keep them, Father, through thy name. Taken out of the world, sent back into the world, not of the world, hated by the world, but kept by the power of God. In the hollow of whose hand? The sea. Lady said, "Dr. Lincoln, you think you'll make it?" I said, "Already got it made." For God, who said, "I hope you make it. I want to see you in heaven." I said, "It's up to you, because I'm a going." "Well, aren't you afraid the devil would get you?" I said, "He doesn't know where I am. I'm hid." He throws mud at me every now and then, but never hits me, and then he'll peep in. Say, "How you getting along, son? Coming swimmingly, Lord. Nothing's hurt me so far." Why, you talk about the devil getting me, he'd have to go through the Son and through the Holy Spirit and through... Why, he'd get saved before he got there himself. Amen. Listen to what I'm telling you. Kept by the power of God. What for? That they may be with me. That's why he's keeping us, so we can be with him. And see the glory that I had before the world was. You know what he said? "I want them to see what I looked like before I came down there and died on a cross. I want them to see what I looked like before they spit on me. And all of this, I want them to see what I looked like." My mother was born in Tazewell County, Virginia. She's always proud of her blue blood. I once would say to her, she came over the mountains with her parents when she was 16 years old, over the mountains and into West Virginia, and met and married my father. I used to say to her, "Mother, I'd love to have seen you when you were a girl. You must have been beautiful when Dad fell in love with you, for your hands were calloused, your face was wrinkled, your hair was white. Someday I'll see my Lord like he was. Before they spit on him, before they crown him with thorns, I'll see him like he was." Somebody said, "Dr. Lincoln, you think you'll die soon?" "Well, I don't think so. If I make it through March, I'll be all right. I notice always if I live through March, I live the rest of the year. So if I get through this year." But you know something? You say, "How would you like to go?" Well, if I could have my way, I'd like to be holding a big meeting and holding an old sinner by the hand. And then the captain of my salvation comes along and taps me on the shoulder. And he said, "Old soldier, it's time for you to come home." And then I'll hang my sword on the shimmering wall of the city of God and hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. And the toil of the road will seem nothing when I get to the end of the race." And a lot of hills to climb up. And a lot of... Well, I've preached too long. Tonight, I think... Tonight... Well, I'll save a little, maybe. Some other time. I think tomorrow morning, if I preach tomorrow morning, I'd like to preach on the Beatitudes of the book of the Revelation. The blessings. And somebody asked me if I wouldn't preach on heaven while I was here. Well, maybe I will. Amen. Somebody said, "I've heard that." I know it. Preacher told me once he'd heard me three times to preach the same sermon every time. I said, "That's strange. I heard you three times. Don't remember a thing you said." Thank you.